Unit 99 to KMA 907. Unit 99, Sergeant Guthrie, 909. In service and on the air. This is Sergeant Bruce Guthrie of Unit 99 at Headquarters, Police Department, City of Sacramento, California. My detail is to ride in Unit 99, a tape recorder-equipped radio car, and to respond whenever the dispatcher transmits a signal to one of our other units on duty somewhere in the city. At the scene, we make the recordings which we provide for this program. Now, to tell you more about Unit 99, here's our chief, James V. Hicks, Sacramento Police.
We have provided Unit 99 of the Sacramento Police Department the tape recorder it carries and the officer in charge, Sergeant Guthrie, so that you, who depend on your police for protection, can hear them in action, on duty. And what you hear on this radio program is real. No question about it. The suspects are real. The victims are real. Bear this in mind as you hear these cases. Now to Unit 99 and Sergeant Bruce Guthrie on duty.
Unit 7. 940A in the service station at 65th and Folsom Boulevard. See a woman regarding 211. Check 7, KMA 907.
I have a 211 call out on Folsom Boulevard. It's quite a ways out. It's a female. Could possibly be a purse snatch. We better go out and see what it is.
KMA 907, Unit 7.
Go ahead.
We have a description of this man who accosted a woman with a revolver and is supposed to be in the vicinity of the railroad tracks on Eastern Avenue. He's about 27, has on blue jeans, a baseball cap, and brown jacket. He is armed.
Check 7, KMA 907.
Unit 56, work for Regan.
Unit 56, out there on the Eastern Avenue, there's a man with a gun on the railroad track that's supposed to be the one who assaulted this woman. Ready to that's your service station at 66 and Fulton.
What was that location? Location where the man was supposed to be?
Squad car has a lady in the back. Let's get out and see what it is. We better follow them. I see they just drove off.
On the railroad track on Eastern Avenue. He's described as 27 years of age, wearing blue jeans, a baseball cap, a brown jacket. This man is armed.
Check. Unit, report from car 6.
Repeat.
You get the report from car 6.
Someone's on the call.
You get the report from car 7.
Yes, we did. This description received from car 7. You contacted the woman who was attacked.
Check.
Yes. It's becoming more involved. Car 7 has the woman in the car.
Oh, I know.
They are heading towards Eastern Avenue. Detectives are following Unit 7. I see cars dispersed along the railroad tracks. At the moment, we're cruising down Eastern Avenue towards J Street. Everyone seems to be looking along the tracks, see if they can spot this man.
Okay.
Be a little bit tough. It's kind of dark out here tonight. Detectives may have spotted something. I see they're turning around. We better turn around and see where they're going. So it would be interesting to get the background on this. Find out how the woman was accosted. Apparently she's on foot. Riding in the squad car, I didn't see any other automobile around, did you?
No.
Turn around. ride out Folsom Boulevard here a ways. And what that was, there's a light up on top of that overpass there. It must be one of the officers searching along the top. There's nothing out this way. One of the traffic cars, the officers are out looking through a pile of concrete pipes. Pipes are stacked up like high fences and make it a little difficult to search.
Unity, what direction is that man traveling on the tracks?
Going north, Unity.
Check.
I think I better call in and get Unit 7's location so we can get some more information on this thing. Minute 99 to KV 907.
Go ahead.
You get Unit 7's location so we can meet them, please.
Okay. Unit 7, what is your location?
Unit 7.
99, we can know your location.
We're in the Tankard Cement Plant over off Folsom Boulevard, just south of Folsom.
Check 7. Unit 99.
Yeah, go ahead.
7 is the Tankard Cement Plant, the south of Folsom.
99, roger. You want to fill us in on this, Lopes, what has happened so far?
Well, this culprit picked this woman up, or rather was in her car when she came out of a building downtown. And he forced her to drive around for a while. He had a revolver. And he made her drive him out to 65th and Eastern Avenue.
Yeah.
And then he got out of the car. He stole $10 from her, incidentally.
How'd he get the $10?
She gave it to him under threat of the revolver. And then he got out of the car and went up on the railroad tracks. He had told her that he was going to catch a freight and leave town. We're searching the railroad tracks now, trying to find him. We blocked off the south end, but so far we have seen nothing.
Did you get a better description of the man than we have with just a baseball cap?
Well, the description she gave, the complete description was, he's about 27, fairly tall. He's wearing a baseball cap with the bill turned up, and a brown jacket with a brown fur collar, and blue jeans. He's not too clean. He's supposed to be somewhat dirty.
You've put that out on the air already, haven't you?
Yes, that description is on the air.
You want to go over and talk to this woman for us?
Yes, all right. She's in the office right over here.
Fine. We're going into the office of the Tankard Cement Company plant. Underneath some big bins here.
Good
evening.
We've seen nothing. Did he head in any direction after he got out of the car, or just towards the railroad tracks?
I didn't watch. He didn't sound like he knew the town at all, so I told him that the railroad tracks were right up here. Not, I would let him off.
I wonder if you could give us a rundown again now, just how he happened to get in your car and what happened.
Well, I was coming out of the YWCA, and I got in my car, and just as soon as I started the motor, he opened the door and pointed this gun at me and said, I won't hurt you. Don't be frightened. He said, I just want you to get me out of town as fast as you can. He said, I want you to take me to Highway 99. I told him I didn't know where it was, and he said, well, he would direct me. So he started, he told me to go south. And so I followed his directions, and he didn't seem to know where Highway 99 was. He wanted to go to Bakersfield, he said, at that time. And so then he took his directions, took me out to Powder Inn Road, right out here. And we went down this long road, and we waited. He made me park the car, and we waited there. He didn't rape me. So he just turned the lights off. And no trains were coming, so he asked me how to get over to some highway, and I said, I guess you take the Powder Inn Road, and I'll take you over to Fruit Ridge. But then he changed his mind, and we came down this way, down to 71st, I guess it is, in front of Standard Station to Folsom. And then I said that there are some railroad tracks over here by the State College. I said, I can drive you over there as close as I can get you. And I said, it's dark and you can get your train there. So he agreed. And so I took him right over here. As soon as I met the four lanes, mm-hmm. he wanted me to turn right around there, I guess right next to that burn.
That's right there at 65th and Eastern, then, isn't
mm-hmm.
it?
Mm-hmm. Right there. Mm-hmm. I didn't go down.
Well, when he got out of the car, the instant he got out of the car, what did you do?
I went to the Standard Station and called you.
I mean, right at that moment, did you watch which direction he went or what he did at that point?
No, I told him that he could get the railroad tracks right there. And I said, if you go up farther, why, you wouldn't have to go through all these buildings here. Mm-hmm. He said, no, that won't bother me. He says, I'll just make my way through the buildings and go on up to the railroad track.
Well, as he got out of the car now,
yes.
You didn't watch where he went, which direction he went.
No.
Except that he said he was going between those buildings.
Yes, I just took it for granted that's what he would do because I offered to take him down farther where there weren't any buildings, you know, up there by the State College, mm-hmm. where there's just weeds.
Mm-hmm.
So he said the buildings wouldn't stop him.
You mentioned, wasn't it on J Street, that he had claimed that he had committed an armed robbery tonight?
Yes, with a friend. And he said that his friend got away with over $3,000. He said it was $3,400. And that's what made him mad. His friend just got in a car with all the money and left him without. He said that there were two other men that they shot. He shot one and his friend shot one. Got in their way. He said that this store won't find out about the money until tomorrow morning.
He didn't mention any time particularly, did he?
No. He sounded as if he...
As if it just had occurred? Was that the idea?
Yes.
Did he seem to be excited, agitated?
He was nervous.
Very nervous.
Yes, he hit me across the face for I don't know why.
At what point did he hit you in the face? Where were you at the time?
At the Power Inn Road.
So when you were parked out there? Right?
Yes.
He had a gun.
Yes.
That's correct. And he had the gun pointed at you all the time?
Yes, at my cheek and then under my neck right
did
in
he
here.
Did he touch you with the gun?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
His main aim, he said, was to get this, take care of this friend of his who left him out in the cold without the money.
Mm-hmm.
He was going to put him up in the hospital as soon as he...
Did he, outside of striking you that once and then threatening you with the gun, did he at any other time molest you in any way?
He said that he wouldn't rape anyone anyway, and he wasn't after my money. I gave him $10 anyway. I told him, take what money I have and just leave me alone.
Mm-hmm.
So he said he'd take $10 and he would see to it that someone would leave me more down at the Y,
mm-hmm.
if he wanted to repay me.
Did he try to get any personal information from you, such as your name and address and so forth?
He asked me my name and I didn't tell him the truth. And
of course you didn't tell him in any way where you lived or how he could locate you. Were you driving the car all this time?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He was directing you, in other words, just telling you where
yes,
to go.
Yes, he wore a handkerchief around his mouth also and brown knitted gloves, and he had this gun pointed at me until the time we reached on our way back when we went past Standard. He said, well, I guess I don't need this gun. I can trust you.
You see, your partner just come in, Manuel. Let's find out if they found it. Well, they went out again.
Well, it's a very difficult area to search because of a lot of shrubbery, a lot of bushes around, and of course along a railroad levee like that, there are all kinds of buildings and so forth. And he could have gone off in in any direction as far as that goes. He might have gone right on over the levee. We're going on the assumption that he intended to stay on the levee, and we blocked off the levee south of here and north of here, and officers are searching in between that.
Yes, as we came up, we saw the car scattered along the railroad right away.
Well, as soon as we got the information as to what it was and where he might have gone, we called the radio dispatcher and advised her, and she dispatched cars out here to aid us in this.
Is there anything else that you can think of that might help us in this investigation now? Anything about the man that is in the least very peculiar?
No. He told me he was 27, and he had a cough, kind of. Sound like a cold.
Didn't have any speech impediments or anything wrong with him that you noticed particularly?
No.
You said he had a cough. Did he have the common nasal sound of a person who has a cold?
No, it was just on occasions he just went, that was it.
I see.
Maybe sniffed a couple of times, that
mm-hmm.
was all.
Did he at any time remove this mask from his face,
No.
handkerchief?
No.
You didn't see the lower part of his face
No.
then all this time? Mm-hmm. Just as a matter of question, do you recall at any time during this long drive whether or not you passed a police car?
No. He said that they were looking. He was hot. I asked him what that meant. He said that that meant that they were after me. And I said, well, I don't hear any sirens or anything. And he said, well, they're still after me. I've got to get out of town as fast as I can.
I see the detectives have come. Are you assigned to this case?
No, we're scouring the neighborhood with the rest of the officers.
They found anything yet, Steve?
Not yet, no. Still looking around.
The gunman who kidnapped this young woman is still at large. The officers had little to go on. The victim could not say definitely in which direction the man disappeared, and he undoubtedly went over the railroad embankment into the county. His story of shooting two men in a holdup that day was false, told properly to intimidate the woman. A car speeding from the scene tied in with this case, however, and for that, back to Unit 99.
You repeat that?
Repeating, a 39 or 50 light green Chevrolet was just seen going north on the freeway from 65th Street. And as the car left, the word stop or I'll shoot was heard. 1097.
This is Unit 6. We've got that Chevy stopped on the overpass.
Check this.
Unit 6 has just stopped that car that was described by the radio dispatcher, stopped up on top of the overpass. Haven't been able to get any information on whether it ties in or not, but we're going up there. There are two traffic units, squad 6. They have a car stopped. Apparently only one man in the car. Let's get out and see what the officers have found. Hello, Clark. Morris, what is it?
This fellow here, we were going north on Elvis here, or Eastern, and we noticed him pulling a U-turn in front of us. We had just received a call relating to this other matter here about the young woman that the 49 or 50 Chevrolet was seen going north on Elvis. And this fellow here, his actions were very peculiar. He pulled a U-turn right in front of us. It's a two-tone car, but the bottom part is light green. And we followed him for about a quarter of a mile. And he pulled another U-turn and was starting back the other way, so we stopped him to check him out. The situation looks pretty good here so far, though. He's just coming back from the Sunday school conference, he says.
Out in this area?
It's downtown. We didn't get the exact location as yet. The other officer, Morris, is checking him more thoroughly.
Well, you better get over there and help him. I see Morris is going to search the car.
All right, fine.
Where's the Sunday school conference?
It's a memorial auditorium. There is two old relic guns in the glove compartment there.
Well, what are they doing in there?
Huh?
What are they doing in
well,
there?
Well, I had them out showing some of the kids. I mean, one of them's just a relic. And
what do you mean by a relic?
I mean, I just kind of collect them.
You collect guns? That's your hobby?
No, that's not my hobby. My hobby's not a railroad.
Who owns the revolvers?
I do.
You own them?
Mm-hmm.
You have
I've had them for several years.
You always carry a loaded gun in the car?
No, I was out hunting the other day. Not hunting, but just fooling around.
Fooling around. Where are you living at now?
I live with my folks.
You ever been arrested or anything?
No, I haven't, sir.
Ever been in any trouble at all?
No, sir. None whatsoever.
You those guns registered?
No, they aren't.
Where'd you buy them at?
I didn't buy them. They gave them to me. I mean,
Do you know who gave them to you?
Well, I got one. It was just laying around down the shop where Dad works. I just got it. And
does your father know you have it?
Yes.
Does it belong to him?
It belongs to me.
Well, why was it laying around the shop?
Well, it's been there for about 25 years, see? And it was...
What about the other one?
Well, I had it ever since I was a kid. 7, 8 years.
Where'd you get it?
So it was out in the garage where we lived when we moved there.
You just seemed to run into guns laying around all over the place, huh? Everybody just happens to leave guns laying around where you can just happen to find them, huh?
No, that's not the deal.
I don't think it's the deal at all.
Why?
I think you better come up with a better explanation of where they got those guns.
Well, that's where I got them. I got more guns at home. It's just part of my hunting facilities.
Do you know what that puts you in violation of?
What?
You got a concealed weapon in there.
Gee, gads.
You don't have any legitimate reason for having them in the car. That's obvious.
No, I don't.
It's nighttime. You're not coming or going to a range, or you're not going hunting.
Well, I was just coming back from convention, that's all. And I just didn't take them out from the other day.
Well, you wouldn't have any reason to have them in the car tonight if you went to a convention, even.
No.
There's no logical reason for carrying guns in your car unless you have some ulterior motive.
I don't have none ulterior motives, that's for sure.
Guns are loaded. That's a violation. Even if you were going hunting, that's a violation. You're not supposed to carry a loaded gun in your car at any time.
That's true.
Well, it makes it look very suspicious under the circumstances, wouldn't you say?
I realize that. Yes, I do.
How old are you?
20.
20 years old. Go to school?
No, sir.
Do some tall explaining, I'm afraid.
You mean about the guns?
About the guns.
Well, there's no reason for him to be loaded, that's for sure.
No reason for him to be in the car, either. Well, while the officers are finishing the checkup on this car, let's see if Officer Lopes has come up with anything else. Did you come up with anything, Manuel?
The only thing was that description of that Chevrolet. Marty gave it to me. And that was that green Chevrolet 49 or 50 that was left there in a big hurry. Mm-hmm. Left the underpass on Folsom Boulevard.
It wasn't those two-tone jugs.
Apparently, from Marty, seemed to think it was one color, and it was a Chevrolet, 49 or 50 Chevrolet.
This turned into be a little bit interesting. We found a couple of guns in this car.
Well, you never know what'll turn up on this business.
You never know. Clark, what are you going to do with this fellow?
Well, we have the two loaded revolvers here, Sergeant. We're going to take him down and book him on a concealed weapons charge. This is definitely a violation of the penal code. He has both of these in his glove compartment. Both of them are loaded, and he also has two boxes of shells in there, too.
There was no tie-up between the kidnapper and the Sunday school convention delegate. The kidnapped victim viewed the young man in a lineup and cleared him. He was booked for concealed weapons, but the charge was subsequently dismissed.
This is Unit 99, presented in cooperation with station KFBK in Sacramento, California. These on-the-scene tape recordings were provided by the Sacramento Police Department and were made on duty by Sergeant Bruce Guthrie in Unit 99. Your host is Chief James V. Hicks of the Sacramento Police Department. Be with us when once again you will hear...
KMA 907, Sacramento Police.
Unit 99 is a presentation of the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.